This set of selective pressure on glasses developed first in a small region of Southwest Asia. It's called the Levantine Corridor in the literature. It runs from the Damascus area of Syria into the lower Jordan Valley and across to the Euphrates River Valley. This corridor had reliable water supplies, a relatively high water table at the time, which enabled foragers to go to another stage here, which is to shift wild grains from their natural habitats into well-watered areas near streams and lakes, where they would create fields of this. In other words, they weren't just supplementing, they were expanding the range. This process may also have happened in Turkey. We don't know. The research on this is still at quite an early stage. And it appears, though, that many of the earliest farming settlements in the world occur within this Levantine corridor. What I want to do in this lecture is document this transition in human life from archaeological sites. And then in the next lecture, I'm going to talk about why this happened, some of the theories people have developed, and then the consequences of it. I thought it was a good idea to get the archaeological evidence down first so that we know what we're talking about. And I'm going to talk about two sites which document this transition and give us a general impression of the changeover. The smaller of the two is a site called Abu Huraira, located on an ecotone, the zone between forests and savanna and floodplain and desert, in the Euphrates Valley. A site dug by an English archaeologist called Andrew Moore, who dug it with meticulous care. It took him many, many years. Abu Huraira began as a small village of a few families living in semi-subterranean houses, partly dug in the ground, in about 10,500 BC. They had simple reed roofs, these houses, supported by wooden uprights. The climate was warmer and wetter than today. The inhabitants harvested oak and pistachios in fall, as well as wild einkorn and rye. And each spring, they killed hundreds of Persian gazelles as they migrated through the Euphrates Valley, a migration as predictable as the traffic on a freeway. With such a favored location, over many generations, the village grew to as many as 400 people. It's a lot of people. And think of the crowding and the social differences which would begin to appear. Thousands of small seeds recovered by these sophisticated flotation methods I mentioned document the effects of an increasingly dry climate, of more and more dry years. Hillman was able to show that at first the people relied heavily on acorns and pistachios. As the droughts intensified, the forests retreated from near the site, so they turned more and more to wild acorn, rye, and other grasses. They transitioned away from nuts. They were too much effort. But eventually, even more arid conditions, and perhaps, and this is something we often forget about, the depletion of firewood supplies, caused the abandonment of the village. They left. They had to. And then suddenly, in about 10,000 BC, a new village rose on the same site. But it was quite different. It was a site with small houses made of mud brick, with flat roofs and courtyards, with small alleys going through the settlement, very like a Southwest Asian village of today. And this time, the people weren't hunting and gathering. They were hunting and farming. And they were cultivating einkorn, lentils, and rye, and maybe other crops. And the important point is that this was so successful as an economy that the village grew rapidly in size. Within 1,500 years, by 8,500 BC, Abu Huraira covered nearly 30 acres atop a low mound of occupation debris.